You're listening to the Grace Through Faith weekly podcast. For more information, go to mygtf.org. We hope you enjoy.
Well, good morning. How is everybody today? Welcome to church. Glad that you came to worship with us this morning. If you have your bulletins, if you'll look at those real quick, there's a couple things I just want to draw your attention to. First of all, Pastor Bo mentioned this in the middle of worship, and this isn't actually in your bulletin, but I just want to take an opportunity to encourage them and encourage you to go plug into what's going on. But Pastor Bo and Pastor Mercy just released this song, Glory and Wonder, that we sang this morning in service. And so if you'd like to listen to that, I'd encourage you to go do it. You can listen to it on any streaming platform that you listen to any kind of worship music or any other music that you consume, on Spotify or iTunes Music or wherever it is that you subscribe to, and that's there. And so just go look it up. You can look for Bo and Mercy Perkins, or you can look for Glory and Wonder and find that. And so just encourage you to plug in. They also released the Christmas song, Hark the Herald, that we sang this morning, just the version of that. Obviously, they didn't write that song, but they have that version that they released and recorded. And so as they do that, it's part of the vision that we have as a house, just to impact and influence worship in Dumas, specifically in the region, and that's really a part of their gifting and their anointing. And so I'm really excited about what God has in store for the future. It's like we're wanting to write new songs that really impact our city and impact worship as a whole. And so just want to encourage you to plug into that and just be praying about that, because that's something that we're asking God to impart into our houses, that as a just this Levitical anointing that He uses our team not only to lead us into worship, but to lead and to influence and worship in a regular way in our area. And so that's just kind of part of that. The other thing that I wanted to mention, and we talked about this last weekend, but you'll notice these packages that are up on the stage. This week has been kind of the culmination of winter warmth. And we talked about this last Sunday, and so I just kind of want to recap and share a little bit with you in case you weren't able to hear this. But we have more kids than we've ever helped before this year. We have 203 kids that we've been given the opportunity to bless. And I just want to talk to you for just a second about how that actually happens. We started this about 9 years ago, and we partner with the school district. And one of the things that we love about this, we were praying about doing a service project for our house, for this church, at Christmas time. And as we were praying about it, you know, we kind of talked about some of the other traditional Christmas time. It's like, you know, can we give you a name and you go shop for them? And those are all great, wonderful projects, but we wanted to do something that was unique and it was new and it was kind of our own expression. And so as we prayed about this, God just kind of opened this door of opportunity, and He showed us a need in our own school district. And He showed us kind of how to do this. And so the way that we've structured this project is we just go to the schools and we go to each campus. We don't ask for parents to come to the church. We don't ask for people and say, hey, do you have any needs? Just come see us. What we do is we go to the school and we just ask the church nurses kind of head this up on each campus, and they coordinate with the teachers, and they ask the teachers if they see and notice any kids in their classrooms that have needs physically, specifically with their clothing. And as those teachers are really in tune with their classrooms and their students, we've kind of encouraged those campuses, we really want to reach the most need-based kids in your campus. And so here's the thing about our school district, and I know you've heard us talk about this through Snack Packs for Kids and even Winter Warmth Project, but we're an at-risk school district. And if you don't know what that means, it basically means Joey, help me with this, 70% of our kids in our district are on free or reduced lunches, correct? And I want you to think about that number for just a second. There's 70% of the kids that go to our schools that qualify on a state basis for free or reduced lunches. And that just kind of tells you the need. And here's the thing, GTF, we can't financially reach 70% of the kids in our school district with winter warmth. And so we've been asking these campuses, give us the most need-based families, the ones that need it the most. And so we really have to be real selective, and we've allowed the school district to do that for us, and it's a really wonderful partnership. They don't give us names of these kids just for privacy's sake. We want to give these kids their dignity and respect their privacy, but we also want to know what's going on and so that we can meet those needs as they are around. And so this year we have 203. I told you last Sunday it takes us about $100 per package to do this. They get a brand new pair of shoes, two brand new pairs of jeans and two brand new collared shirts that they can wear to school. And then we have a couple other organizations. StoryBridge has put a book in most all of the elementary school age kids' bag. And then also Addison's Christmas came in and they give toys. And so we're able to partner with some other organizations in town, but every single one of these packages is going to a kid in Moore County. And as we're helping these kids in Moore County, we're helping them with something that they need on a daily basis, and there's something that's in there that's going to enrich their lives and bless them. It's something fun. That's gonna be something that puts a smile on their face as they open these packages up this next week. And so this morning, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about winter warmth, and we're going to ask you to donate towards this. This is going to cost around $20,000 in order to do this. We budget a little bit, and I'll just tell you this. I said this last weekend. You guys were so generous last year. We didn't use all the money from last year's winter warmth project. You gave it towards winter warmth, and so we used it for this year's winter warmth project. And so there was $8,500 that was left from last year that went towards that $20,000 that we need this year. We had another organization that gave a $5,000 donation to help with this. And so you can kind of do the math of where we're sitting. But we need to make up the rest of that. And so I just want to encourage you, if you need something to do as a family, it's something worthy. We do this. We encourage our kids to do this. As our kids grow and they get jobs, we encourage them to tithe. Moms and dads, teach your kids that. And number two, to give over and above your tithe. And so we've encouraged our kids, hey, is there something that you can do? And if you can't do $100, maybe you can, maybe you're blessed and you can sponsor three packages for kids, or maybe you can just do $20. Whatever it is that God puts on your heart to do, I just want to encourage you to step into that and be obedient to what God's asking you to do so that you can help these families. And so we're going to actually take the offering at the end of service, and I want to talk to you a little bit about what's on my heart this morning. And we've been in this series that we're going to continue this morning, titled "A Son Is Given." And Pastor Bo kicked this off a couple of weeks ago, and in the series, we've been taking a bird's eye view of the beautiful reality that the Father, our Father in heaven, God, gave us Jesus. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. That's why we decorate, and that's why we sing the carols that we sing, and that's why we worship God. And this is a special time of year. It's special not because it's cold and foggy. It's special not because it's just December. What makes this time of year special is the occasion of the fact that God the Father gave us Jesus. And as he did that, Pastor Bo was talking in the first week about sonship and what it means to be a son and a daughter of God. And last week, I kind of pivoted and I talked about the Son of God. I talked to you about Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus becoming God, the God-man becoming man and living among us. And as that, this is what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9. He saw 700 years down the road, and as he saw what was in the heart of the Father to give us a son, this is what he prophesied. He said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Last week, as we talked about that passage, we just kind of leaned into the reality that the Father and the Son's relationship is so intimate that the Father loves the Son, and who wouldn't? But the generosity of the Father is summed up in his willingness to share Jesus with us. You know, if you're really going to enjoy something, you have to share it with somebody else. It's not good enough to keep it all to yourself. And so God, in his generosity, knew how great and wonderful and peace-giving his son was, and so he gave him to us. A son was given. And as that son was given, we're now adopted into the family of God if we put our faith in Jesus. And so today, what I want to do is I want to give you a brief reminder of our birthright as sons and daughters. Why don't you say birthright? A birthright is something that is bestowed upon you because of your place in the family. Your birthright is something that you step into whenever you read a will and somebody passes away and they leave you an inheritance. And I was thinking about this week, and there's two fundamental birthrights for a believer. The first is intimacy, and the second one is inheritance. Intimacy has to do with your position in the family. An inheritance has to do with your possessions in the family. But make no mistake, you and I, because we are in the family of God through Jesus, and we talked about this a little bit last week, and I just want to remind you of this. If you're not in the family of God, you're not a child of God. You're separated from God and lost in your sins. That's the gospel. That's the bad part of the gospel. That we are lost and we're separated from God, and we will be forever in eternity separated from Him in hell if we do not surrender to the truth of who Jesus is. But the day that we place our faith in Jesus, we are born again and we are born into the family of God. And as we are sons and daughters of God, then we are part of the family, and so there is this birthright that is bestowed upon you. It's bestowed upon me. We have an inheritance and we have a position in the family. And so I want to talk about those two real quick, the positional part of birthright and the possessional part of birthright real fast. Like I said, intimacy has to do with position. Look at John chapter 1. I'm going to have you turn to a couple places. John chapter 1 first. And this has to do with our position. Our birthright as sons and daughters of God's positionally. John says this in verse 12, chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who did receive Jesus, receive him, to those people, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, that has to do with natural birth. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, that has to do with human interaction or initiative. But born of God. Another translation says it this way, but born of God's choosing. Here's the reality of our birthright in position. Is there's this right that we have in the family of God because we're in the family. That's all about intimacy. I want you to think about your family for just a second. Family members are some of your most intimate acquaintances, aren't they? Even if you don't like them. They know family knows stuff about family that nobody else knows. We see each other in family environments that other people don't see. We see sides of each other in the family that people on the outside don't see, right? That's all about intimacy. Because of our position in the family, there's an automatic intimacy into that brother or that sister or father or mother's life, cousins, that we know things intimate about them because they're in the family. We know some of their secrets. See, that's part of the family of God that you have a right to as you're in Christ. There is an intimacy that you get to have with the Father. Because you're a daughter of God, because you're a son, that you get to know the secrets of God. You get to know the heart of God, that He gets to know the intimate things about you. You cannot approach a sonship relationship with God at arm's distance. God wants to draw you close to Himself. That is not just an obligation that's laid at your footstep. That's actually an inheritance. That's a blessing that we get to be the sons and daughters of God who know the intimate things of God's heart. John Sheesby wrote this book. It's called Birthright. I'd encourage you to get a copy if you can find it. It's out of print. The subtitle of this book is probably my favorite subtitle of any book that I've ever read, is Out of the Servant's Quarters and Into the Father's House. And in it, he looks at Luke chapter 15, and he talks about the prodigal son and the prodigal son coming home. And Pastor Bo talked about this whenever he spoke a couple weeks ago. You remember the speech that the prodigal son was kind of practicing as he walked the road home? He's like, I'm just going to go home, and I'm going to tell my father, hey, I'll just be one of your servants. His whole premise in this book is God is not asking us to go to the servant's quarter. He's asking us to come into the home. And he writes this, and I want to quote him, and I'm going to read you a longer quote here in just a second, but he says this, we are not children of God because of our service. Listen to me. I want you to hear this. It's very short, but I want you to get this. You are not a child of God because of your church attendance, because you wrote a check and tithed, because you give to Winter Warmth. You're not a child of God because you had a quiet time on a faithful basis this week. You're not a child of God because of your service. We are children of God because of His seed inside of us. This is what 1 John 3 says. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. That's a big statement, but listen to what he says after that. Because God's seed remains in them. Whenever you're born again, you're born of God, and there's an incorruptible seed that's placed inside of you. It's the Spirit of God. And that Spirit is incorruptible. Now, this may be kind of a mind bend for you this morning, this early in the day, whenever there's fog outside and everybody wants to go home and take a nap and curl up by the fire and watch some TV. But listen, you are a spirit if you're born again. You're alive and you're clothed in a sinful body. That body will one day pass away and you'll get a new body eventually. And that body that you do get will be incorruptible as well. But for now, the spirit that is inside of you cannot taste sin. It is of God. It is going to be forever united with God, and it cannot sin. If you chose today to step into sin, you're doing it in your body, your flesh. And if you sow to the flesh, this is what Galatians says, if you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you will reap destruction. But if you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you will reap everlasting life. And so what John is talking about, this is a huge theological concept that I'm trying to unpack really, really quickly. What John is trying to say is, if you are born of God, you cannot sin in your spirit. You cannot. It's impossible. If your spirit's corruptible, it cannot coexist with God in heaven for all of eternity. If you are born of God, you cannot sin in your spirit because his seed remains in you. Because of this reality, our position as sons and daughters of God does not come through our doing. It comes from our being. See, I'm a Buckinaw not because I earned being a Buckinaw. I'm a Buckinaw because my dad married my mom and they had children. And I was one of those children. And because of that being, that state of being, I can do things and it doesn't change that. There's many times in my teenage years that I can tell you my mom and dad were probably really frustrated with me, really grieved over the choices that I was making in my life. It didn't change the fact that I was their son. See, this is the whole thing about birthright from an intimacy standpoint, is you are positioned in God. These aren't my words. This was the Apostle John. We read this verse earlier. He says, we have the right. We have the claim. We have his name on us, his seed inside of us. We have the genetic encoding spiritually of God's character within us. Now, you in your flesh may choose to not show that character, but that character nonetheless is inside of you. His patience, his peace, everything that God is, the divine nature we are partakers of. It's crazy, but that is our birthright. So, just real quick illustration, you've maybe heard this statement before, but an acorn withholds in itself a forest. And if you and I are positioned in God and his seed is inside of us, we hold within ourselves the kingdom. Everything that God is inside of us. He lives in me now. Positionally, that's my birthright. Now, let me talk about possession real fast. And everything about inheritance is about possession in our birthright. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Verse 16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. He came and lived inside of you. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And what Paul is talking about here is, he says, the Holy Spirit himself, he testifies with inside of us. He communicates with our spirit. He testifies with us that we are God's children. You don't have to doubt it. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, do you love me? Holy Spirit, am I a son? And as you ask that question, there's this communication that goes back and forth in the innermost place of your being that you are a child of God. Now, if we are children, then we are, here's the payoff, here's the implication. Then we're heirs. Say heirs. That's a big deal. If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Galatians 4:7 says, So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Possessional birthright has everything to do with inheritance. I want to read you this quote out of John Cheesemee's book that I referenced earlier. He says this, and I have a slide to go with this, if you'll put that up. He says, reading the New Testament is like reading the last will and testament of a wealthy benefactor, where the riches of his estate are enumerated. Here is what is bequeathed to us. We are heirs of eternal life. And I give you the scripture references. You can jot them down real quick and just leave those up even after I move on from this. Heirs of eternal life. We are heirs of salvation. We are heirs of the promise. We are heirs of the kingdom. We are heirs of the grace of life, heirs of the blessing, heirs of all things. The Bible literally says that. We inherit all things. And that's just the short list. That's just kind of the going through and catching stuff off the top. The huge and the full accounting of the assets is this. The estate of a king, I want you to think about this. The estate of a king is what is bequeathed to you and I. We are heirs of all that belongs to God. All. And not only that, we have the right, through this birthright, by right of birth, we have every spiritual blessing is ours. That verse that I just got through reading a while ago said that we're not only heirs of what is God's, we're co-heirs with Jesus. Understand this reality that everything that Jesus has right to as the begotten Son of God, we do too. We are co-heirs with him. Everything that he is entitled to and he has the right to claim as his, we do as well as sons and daughters of God. That is our birthright. Now, there's a lot of people, as I read all of these blessings and all of these benefits and wonderful claims that we have as children of God, I think that has an ability to make people nervous sometimes, especially Pharisees and religious people. And it kind of has this feel of this is this prosperity gospel that we're just getting from God. But here's one thing that I want you to understand. This is just the gospel. I'm just reading scriptures. There's this reality that happens whenever, if this is the reality of the gospel, that you're now a son, that you're now a daughter, then you have a claim to the throne. A prince has a claim to the throne. Now, I'm never going to move the king and do not want to. But I have been invited into the Father's house, not as a servant, but as a son. And as a son, I have a birthright, and that birthright entitles me to intimacy with God. Please pursue that. But it also entitles me to an inheritance in him. Blessings from his hand. Now, here's the point and kind of what I want to land on today. I want to talk to you for just a second, and then I'm going to invite Pastor April to come up and help me. I want to talk to you about consumerism. Because as I talk about these benefits and these blessings that are afforded to us in our relationship with God, our generous Father, I think the other reason that makes people nervous is it kind of sets the church up to become consumer Christians. Consumerism is a bad word in our day and age, isn't it? It's ruining everything. It's ruining Christmas. Consumerism's ruining the planet if we could just get rid of all those plastic straws. It's like there's this bad thing about being a consumer. It's like you just feel terrible about yourself, don't you? And here's the thing that I want to kind of bring some levity to that this morning, because here's the reality of consumerism is every single one of us that's here today is a consumer. Agreed? We all consume. And I would tell you this, you have to consume. You need to eat in order to sustain your body. You need to sleep in order to rest your body. You need to have a relationship with others so that you're socially engaged and it meets a need inside of you. And so you need to consume. And even beyond needing to consume just your basic necessities, there is an actualization that we come to where if I'm going to be healthy, I need to consume beyond just my basic necessities. If all I have is a warm blanket and a little shelter and some daily rations, I'm not truly fulfilled in my life. I have dreams. I have desires. I have purposes that God has placed inside of me. And in pursuing those, I consume what God's called me to do in this day and age, in my lifetime, right? And as you do that, then we step into enjoying stuff beyond our bare necessities and enjoying the fruits of our labors. Did you know that that's a godly concept? Go through the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. God encourages us to work hard and enjoy the fruits of our labors. But here's the problem with consumerism. I'm not saying that there's not a problem. I'm just saying, let's identify what the problem actually is. Here's what the consumer problem is. It isn't that we consume because we have to. We have to consume. It's that we devour all that we have, and we don't save some for tomorrow and share some with others. That's the consumer problem. Whenever you and I get so greedy and we consume everything that God's put in our path, and we don't have anything left for later, and we don't have anything left for others. That's the consumer problem. Here's what Jesus has called you and I to do. I told you a while ago that you have the seed of God inside of you, and you have the character of God in you. And Jesus told us what to do with that character that's inside of us. This is what Matthew chapter 5 says. He says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Here's the thing about Christmas. What God has done. I read you Isaiah chapter 9 earlier, "To us a son has been given." See, God's character is that he shared Jesus with us. That character now is inside of us by the seed of God. And God has called us to now to live a life to where we allow our light to shine. Don't keep it to yourself. Be in a place where you receive the blessings of God and you can prosper so that you can enjoy the fruits of your labor and share with others. That's what God has called us to do. He's called us to be successful. He's called us to make an impact on the world around us. And he's called us to share the goodness of God inside of us with the world around us. That's one of the things that makes me love the Winter Warmth Project the most, is that this is an opportunity for us as a church family every single year to look at somebody else's circumstance. Listen, I can be as guilty of this as anybody else, getting lost in my own circumstances. I'm just doing my life, and I got to take care of my stuff, and I get busy checking the boxes, worrying about my things, taking care of my people, all of those things. But what this project causes us to do is to look up for a second and to look around, to ask, hey, is there anybody that just doesn't have a pair of shoes? And I think that people are shocked whenever they hear the answer is, yeah, there's people in our town that don't have shoes. Now, you may say there's not very many, but I'm just telling you, one of the stories of these packages is there's a kid that was going to school, and his big toe was poking out of his shoe about that far. His shoes were that small. And you could say, well, he had a pair of shoes, and I could say, he needs better. That's what I love about this project, is it causes us in a world where we're consuming and the problem is we're just consuming everything that's in front of us, is to stop for just a second and ask, is there anybody else besides my kids and besides everybody else that's on my Christmas list, is there something that I can create some margin in my Christmas budget and say, you know what, I can take $25 and I can help somebody else out. April, would you come on up here? And she's going to share with us a little bit about this year's Winter Warmth Project. And then we're going to land the plane here in just a second and close everything off.
Well, I just want to echo what Jory had said. I mean, this project's close to our heart. We love this. But I have to tell you, heading it up every year as we, you know, get on the cusp of getting ready to launch Winter Warmth, I kind of have this ugh inside of me of I know how much work it's going to take and just, it just makes me tired even thinking about it before we get started. But as I contact nurses and send out information to them of, hey, you've got this many weeks to grab all of your information and your kiddos' sizes, and I'm going to come around to your campus on this day and pick up your stuff. I began to walk into those campuses, and I began to get those stacks of papers. Who are kiddos in our community? Who are souls? And I begin to hear their stories, and it immediately shifts something inside of me. Immediately. This year, as I went around and I got all of the papers, I got home that evening and I start counting them. I start counting these kiddos, and Jory comes home from work, and I am literally a puddle of tears in our living room counting all of these papers, realizing that the need was bigger this year, but also just feeling this overwhelming urgency that we have to act and we have to do something. And so I want to share with you a few of our stories that we have this year. You know, Jory had mentioned that one of our kiddos at one of our campuses, and you know, the last several years, I've encouraged our teams that get together and put their hands all over this and purchase the stuff and pack it, that, you know, these students, these kiddos are in our community. And so really taking them on is these are our kids. They're our kids because they live in our community and they go to school with our kids, that we have an opportunity to bless them, to make it personal. And so one of our kids this year, much like Jory said, his big toe was literally hanging out of his tennis shoes, and he was wearing those tennis shoes to school every day because that's the only pair of tennis shoes or shoes for that fact that he had. You know, my toes are hanging out of my shoes today, but it's because I picked these shoes and I bought them. And they're kind of cold today with the weather outside. But this little kiddo goes to school with shoes every day that don't fit because he doesn't have any others. One of our kiddos that we're shopping for, he's a junior high kiddo. So think back to whenever you were in junior high. For some of us, that, you know, we got to go way back to remember what junior high was like. But junior high's hard. It's not an easy stage of life. You're going through puberty, and that is just terrible. And junior high is just a rough age. You're trying to figure out who you are and who you want to be. And we have a kiddo in our junior high who's a young man that goes to school with pink tennis shoes every day because those are his grandmother's shoes because he doesn't have any other shoes to wear. We have a set of siblings this year from an elementary school. Who was removed from their home at 3:00 in the morning by CPS, was taken to a family member's home, three kiddos with a Walmart sack full of clothes. That's all they had. And those three siblings will get packages tomorrow with new shoes and warm clothes and a toy and some books to read. And so, you know, church, what we do, it matters. It matters to these kids, but I think it also matters to us. Just like Jory said, it's so easy to get at your house and in your four walls and forget that there are people on the outside that are hurting and that are broken and that don't have what they need. And I love that this house just jumps into action. I hate that we can't help everyone. I wish that we could. But we get to make a difference in these kiddos' lives and in these family lives this Christmas season. So I think we just, our heart is, you know, I was overwhelmed by the amount of need this year, but I have no doubt that GTF won't step up to the plate to make sure that this is taken care of, that we can just mark it off of our list this year, that it's done, and be a blessing to these families, these kids, our kids, this Christmas season.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and I ask that worship team to go ahead and come on up. And we're going to conclude service this morning with an offering. And so if you've been a part of this before, we're going to ask you to give, and I'm asking you to give over and above your tithe. I would really encourage you to do this outside of what you already do in tithing to the Lord. And as you do this, do we have a giving slide that we can throw up there real quick? Thank you. You guys are on the ball. And so if you would like to give electronically, you can give through text. There's the number right there. And you need to, if you're going to give towards winter warmth, the code is, like, if you gave $100 for a package, it would be 100 winter. And it'll go to winter warmth. That'll let us know that that's not a tie that needs to go towards winter warmth. But then we're also going to pass some buckets, and anything that lands in these buckets this morning is going to winter warmth. And if you have tithe that you're going to give, you can give those. Just mark in your check or on an envelope, whether it's tithe or winter warmth, and it'll go to where it needs to go. And so I just want to, before we go back into worship, I'm going to ask you whenever we step into worship to pass these buckets. But before we do that, I just want to pray. And I just want to ask God that he would bless these kids tomorrow as we deliver these packages, and that he would just speak to us what he's asking us to do this Christmas season to give towards winter warmth. And so, Father God, we just come to you this morning, and we thank you, thank you, thank you, that we get to participate with what you want to do in our town. God, it breaks our heart that there's situations like this in the place that we live. But we know the reality of the world, that it's full of hurt and it's full of brokenness, but that's why you sent Jesus. And that's why he birthed a church, and that's why he called us to touch this world with the love of God. And so, Father, I pray that as these kids receive these packages tomorrow, that their lives would be marked by your love. That they would know that somebody cares. That they would know that there's a God in the universe, and that he knows their name and he sees their situation and he wants to reach it. I pray, Father, that as we partner with you financially, God, that you would just speak to us what you're asking us to do. And as we step out in faith, God, we just trust you to take care of our needs in Jesus' name. As Pastor Bo leads us in worship, if you would take those buckets on the, if there's a bucket under your chair, if you would pass it down, thank you.